And then following this, Lord willing, we're going to go right into 2 Peter and that letter that he writes to the church as well. Today, my title is God-Honoring Leaders. God-Honoring Leaders. This morning, as we look at this passage in 1 Peter chapter 5, it has some basic, simple, but I believe direct principles for leadership. Those principles seem to be targeted toward the leaders of the church. And if you remember 1 Peter chapter 4 that we just came out of at the very end last week reminded us that judgment begins in the household of God. We need to make sure our lives are lining up with His Word, because God wants to refine His church. I mean, think your life still needs a little refining. That would be me. And God wants His church to reflect His character, to reflect His heart. And so a question might come to us out of this thought: how can I better align myself with the will and the purpose of God? With that thought in mind, Peter now addresses the leaders of the early church. And by the way, I believe he's also speaking to the leaders of the church today, so take heart to what Peter has to say. 1 Peter 5, verse 1. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Heavenly Father, we do look forward to our home in heaven. But Lord, as people of God on this earth, we want to reflect your heart. We want to reflect your character. And do so until we get to heaven. So Lord, help us as we hear this today, for those that are leaders or desire to be leaders, teach us what that looks like, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me take a moment and try to determine who is Peter really addressing here. When we read the term elder in the Bible, it naturally kind of pushes us or tends us toward people who hold a particular office in the church, like some of the elders, maybe the term pastor or bishops or overseers, a lot of different terms that a lot of different denominations use, but it's those who lead. The very first elders we see in the Bible trace back to 70 men who were appointed to help Moses arbitrate problems with the Israelites when they were wandering in the wilderness and desert. If you remember this, Numbers chapter 11 in the Old Testament says, the Lord said to Moses, bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Have them come to the tent of meeting that they may stand there with you. I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take some of the power of the Spirit that is on you and put it on them. They will share the burden of the people with you so that you will not have to carry it alone. Now, through the years, elders have become people who help key leadership in the church. And they were there to also, in the New Testament, help equip people. They were there to teach God's word and help people. They're leaders who gain respect from the people. And from what we gather in the New Testament, it appears that the apostles most likely appointed elders in the churches. They were there to help the apostles with the kingdom work. And in time, those elders became what we probably know as pastors today. Peter refers to himself as an elder with them, if you remember that. Another term found in the church, just so that we get a little bit of understanding, is another term called deacon. Deacons are first introduced to us in the book of Acts, chapter 6, where some men were appointed to help with practical aspect of ministry. They served as an extension of the elders. Now, over the course of time, churches, for the purpose of organization, have established a person as the ruling elder to serve and oversee the work of a local church. And we understand that various churches, denominations, our particular fellowship is called a fellowship, but we all have different views of what's the right organizational structure for the church. Well, that's not my issue to deal with today. And also, just understand, because of some biblical interpretation, we have to be patient with every church organization that might adopt a different form of government than what we might even know here. Everybody understand that? Here, bottom line is this: nobody has it completely right. Okay? As I read this passage, I am of the opinion that Peter is speaking, of course, to those who hold the office of elder. But also he is speaking to those who lead in the church. Some leaders have titles and some leaders do not. This passage could apply to all of us, actually, in some way, because we all lead. Whether you know it or not, you lead. We lead our lives first, then we lead our home or our family, and then we begin to lead others because they're watching you. So as we look at the passage today, I think it definitely speaks to my role and to any pastoral role in the church. But I think it could be broader than that, because there are people who also lead in the church with influence. And influence can be incredibly good or atrociously bad. There have been church splits because of influence, not necessarily because of the spiritual leadership. That's why I'm addressing all of us today to how we live. I think anyone who considers themselves as a leader of God's people in any way, you need to listen up today. So let's look at some characteristics of a God-honoring leader. The next verse, Peter calls leaders to serve, and he does so over the next two verses, I believe, with three things: to have the right motivation, to pursue the right goals, and then use the right methods. So let's look at that. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2 and 3. Verse 2 says, "Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock." Let me look at my first thought: the right motivation. A leader in a Christian community, first of all, does not serve out of obligation. They should never, ever feel like it's my turn. I got to take out the garbage. You know, I have to deal with that. We have to be willing to serve. When you become part of a body of believers, you don't show up on church because it's obligation. We come because we're willing to come. The first key that a leader must understand is this: they need to remember whom they are serving. They are serving who? The Lord. Though they serve maybe in the church, they are actually serving the Lord of His church. God is the one we seek to please and to honor through all of our service. That's why we need to be this God-honoring leaders, right? It's an honor and not a burden to serve the Lord. Psalm 102, what scripture you're familiar with: serve the Lord with what? Gladness, and come into His presence with singing. So we've done that. I hope you didn't grumble and complain, now you're having to deal with that because the Holy Spirit's saying, see, you had the wrong attitude when you came to church. You need to come with gladness when you come. Amen? Listen to NASB, the New American Standard, says, serve the Lord with what? Jubilation. I mean, how happy have you got to be, you know? But with this thing that just bubbles over inside of us and come before Him with rejoicing. Church, all of us need to remember this point because in everything we do it as unto the Lord. When you go to your so-called secular work tomorrow, you do not become a secular person. You are walking in there as a representative and leader for the kingdom of God, and therefore you go and do it as unto the Lord. We serve the Lord with a glad attitude, and especially those in leadership. Amen? Also, we've got to do it, though, with the right motivation. Motivation being leaders need to understand the importance of what they're doing. I'm sure that many have resented doing jobs for which they see no real purpose. And sometimes I think people who serve the people of God can even feel that same way. They're like, that's why our nursery. They're like, they don't really see the purpose. Let me tell you, there is a purpose in serving the nursery. Those formative years are so important. And whether I want them to feel like the house of God is the place they ought to be. That's where I get held. That's where I get loved. That's where I hear about life. That's where I see happiness. That's where I see gladness. And our kids need to see that. I'm sure some feel like they're simply fulfilling organizational requirements. I hope that my board who comes monthly and we meet, it's not an organizational requirement. We come because we're glad to serve the Lord and work alongside of one another and help. A true leader in the church is supposed to be helping people move forward in their faith in Jesus, doing their best to make an impact on the surrounding community. The work of the church is not busy work. And true leaders of the church have to understand that they're engaged in a work that has eternal significance. Eternal significance, church. The work of the church is to alter the eternity of the people we serve toward heaven. Therefore, as leaders, not only the right motivation, but we need to pursue the right goals. Listen to verse 2 again. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be. Now listen to this part. Not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve. As leaders, we have to pursue the right goals. Now, the Bible does teach that a laborer of the gospel is worthy of their hire. 1 Timothy 5, 17 and 18. The elders who lead well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scriptures say, you shall not muzzle the ox while it is threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. But I believe Peter's concern as he writes this in verse 2 is not just about money, but really about your motivation of why you're doing what you do. He says, not pursuing dishonest gain. Why are you doing what you are doing? Sadly, some people take positions of leadership because they are greedy for money. Others, though, do it because of the status it gives them. Others do it because of the influence they can have. Others do it because of the reputation they will gain. All because they want to be known, and in the church world, they want to be known as spiritually mature. The problematic issue with this is if you are dishonest, then it has to do with your selfishness. And when it's all about personal profit or personal gain, only negative things come out of that. One of the dangers of being dishonest about gain, that is, you begin to water down the truth of the gospel so you make it more attractive. So it can also further your personal agenda, and hopefully more people will come because it's watered down and it sounds good to them, and they give more, therefore I gain more. When that happens, though, kingdom decisions get made based on what's popular instead of what's true. And you end up catering to those who can further your agenda and actually overlook people who need to be ministered to. And church, that is the exact opposite of what Jesus did. Our motivation, first, has to be to honor God in everything we do. Our desire as ministers is to lead people into a true and a lasting relationship with Jesus Christ. And then to help them in their journey any way we can. But we can only do that by proclaiming truth accurately and compassionately. And so we have to pursue the right goals. And to do that, I've got to use the right methods. A good leader provides an example to follow. 1 Peter 5:3 again says, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Jesus didn't tell his disciples, I need you to go out there and flex your muscles. I want them to know you have authority. No, he told them, this is what I want you to do. I want you to serve each other. And Jesus' argument is compelling since he said, a servant is not greater than his master. And the master is Jesus. Just look how he served. So we must lead by serving. Paul tells the Philippians this regarding our example. Philippians 2, verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interest, but each of you to the interest of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Church, Jesus came to serve mankind and to give his life to save us and to offer eternity to anyone who would believe. That is serving. In fact, so much so that he did this knowing that not everyone would respond to his grace and to his sacrifice, but he still did it for those who would. Who do you pattern your life after? Who do you see has traits that you want to emulate? Let me give you a qualification of elders that Paul gives us in 1 Timothy 3. He says, now the overseer, and this word, if you get into different denominations, this word is also in the Greek bishop, overseer. It's the elder of the church. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him. And he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. I don't know if you noticed, but the bulk of this list does not focus on skills and abilities. The focus is on character and reputation. In fact, the only skill mentioned here is that they are able to teach. And I can understand that the gift of teaching is an important gift and to have as a leader of the church. But more important than that is the leader's heart. And that heart has to ask, is it after the things of God? The reality is this. When you testify and say, oh, I'm a leader to be followed, and yet you are angry, you are confrontational, you're never at home with your family, or you're dishonest in your business, or you're trying to work the system to get whatever you can, or you spend your weekends getting drunk, then you're declaring and saying, well, God approves of all of that. And at that point, I want you to know you have become a false teacher because of the way you live. It does not line up with God's word. Church, a true leader of God's heart demonstrates what it really means to follow Christ. And they handle conflict in a godly way. They show compassion. They pursue holiness through the way they live, even though they're in a secular world. Now, please understand this part. Church leaders are not perfect. However, they should stand out different from the world. And you should notice that they are pursuing godly character. You should see the evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in their life. And you will see that their authority, if they're really a good leader, their authority is not derived from their title, but from the power of their example. They're people who are worthy to be followed. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And I would say the same, follow me. But if it does not look like Jesus or does not line up with God's word, then do not follow me. In fact, James, the brother of Jesus, gives us a warning to church leaders. He says, dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. This scripture is a reminder to those who, of course, preach or teach to do so with seriousness and thoughtfulness regarding how we live our lives representing Jesus. As a believer and a leader, I want to live this way. And because Peter goes on and says in verse 4, listen to this, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Church, ultimately, the leader of the church is accountable to the Lord Jesus, who is the chief shepherd. But if we live our lives out honestly, and we do so genuinely for the Lord, Peter gives an incredible promise. The promise of Peter is that those who lead faithfully, they'll find the pleasure of being with the Lord forever and getting a crown that will never fade. But it's not about the crown. It's about the presence of God. I believe that all of us need to have the right motivation of why we do whatever we do. But that is to serve the Lord first in your life, above everything. Secondly, I believe we've got to pursue the right goals. That is about serving others and not yourself. And then use the right method. The method is to be the example. Now know this, you may not have a title, or you may not hold an office, but if you are living for Jesus, then you are leading someone. Let me finish with a couple of thoughts here. As children of God, I want you to be careful to be discerning. I need you to always look for good leaders who possess the character of Christ. I know this morning we have guests with us, and you are just here this morning hearing this, and it's hard to know a pastor in a church from a one-time attendance. So you ought to feel loved. You ought to feel taught. You ought to have experienced something from the Lord. But church, you need to be discerning as you look for these leaders who possess the character of Christ. Don't look just at their talent and their ability. Look for their character. And then when you find them, learn everything you can from them. Amen? A second thing, as a child of God, I need you to be realistic. Please understand that even the best leaders are still human beings. And everyone has to battle the sin nature. And here's an important point. Do not put ministers on a pedestal. And you know why. They fall off. It isn't that you shouldn't honor, and let me just go to my next point. Be supportive. In fact, the best way you can encourage a leader is you get involved. Walk alongside of them. And then continually pray for them. Pray for your leaders. Pray that God will give them strength. Pray that they'll maintain balance in their life. Pray that they will be faithful. Every one of us need God-honoring leaders. We need that. We need those who are faithful. And even as a lead pastor, I look up to others. There are other examples I'm looking to follow. But could I tell you, lead your own life personally first. Lead your own life well. Then take the opportunity to lead in your home and your family. Those are great training grounds. And then when the opportunity comes and the Lord calls you to it and you're going to do it willingly, then serve in the church. But lead well. Pastor James, would you come? This morning, I'm like, how do you close this out? I feel like I've talked nothing more than about me. In church, I want to serve well. And I'm grateful for an incredible church that I get to serve at. I was 16 years now, and we've had very, very few, if any, major disruptions. We got to keep based on the Word of God. And you've heard me say this. Really, my role here as before the Lord is no different than yours. Why? Because the Word of God teaches us that all of us have to live for Him. And it's more than just knowing about Him, it's wanting to really have Him as a part of my life. I would tell you, you say, well, how do I do this? And I'm going to use a term that you may have heard, but I want you to really meditate on this thought. You need to practice the presence of the Lord. When I read that part about Moses, and God says, have them join you at the tent of meeting. Welcome to the tent of meeting. But this is where God says, let me impart what is on you, what was on Moses, and put it on them, that spirit. I pray that I lead well enough that there is anything in me that could be put on you. God, do it. But I want to guard my life. In fact, when I sit with, and we're looking at deacons, our deacons have to meet up to the qualifications of this overseer I read. Why? And I don't say this to be rude at all, but if you want to sit around the table with me and lead, I need your life to be ready to lead. And I know everybody's at different places and growing, and we'll get there. But does it make me any more loved by God? It doesn't make me any more spiritual before God. But if I'm going to lead, and I'm going to a community and a church and outreaches, and man, I just got to be above reproach. I've told you, I guard where I walk in stores because I just don't want someone to see me down an aisle and question, why is he down that aisle, whether it's alcohol or some other things that I have no business being a part of. I just want to be above reproach. Anybody coming to me and say, why did you do that? Or I guard what I say because I don't want people to say, well, what did you say? And in moments like this, I'm telling you, this is hard for me to get up here and preach this. I'd love, should have had a guest come and just share this. The problem is you sit here and feel guilty because you're like, am I really all that? And I'm not. I'm still growing. I was offended about a couple of months ago. I got over it quickly. The offense quickly came, and it wasn't meant in any bad way, but they just said, I think you preach better today than you used to. And at first, I'm just like, what? You know, and then the Holy Spirit said, you've grown. I'm glad I don't preach like I did 16 years ago. I've grown. I've changed. And hopefully for the better. And at first, that offense, you know how quickly it hits you. It's like, what do you say? I think I've always done a good job. I'm growing. And when the Holy Spirit just helped me see that. So listen, we're all growing. Keep growing, though. Don't stagnate. I need more leaders in the church. I don't want us to be satisfied with the same names over and over. I don't mean that to be rude either. I just, where is God raising up? And I'm grateful that you as a church, when we have our business meetings, you've given me new people who've come to the church, like Steve here, Kevin Brangleson. And I'm grateful. I love our history, too, of some of those who have continued to come back home because it's helpful to have history. But church, I want to lead well. But I also want to lead alongside of you. I don't want to be wearing the leader hat and turn around and nobody's following. That I'm just out for a stroll. I'm here to lead. And may the Lord help all of us do our part together. Because he called it the body of Christ, not the part of Christ. We're a body. So thank you. If you're a toenail, oh, I'm so glad you're there. Those toenails protect that tender skin of stumping your toe. Oh, my goodness. And sometimes we don't look at the toenail as being that important. But I'm grateful for every part. But let's allow our lives to be built up together. So what I'm going to end today is maybe a little different. I'm just going to pray over you. And I'll just let the prayer is unto God. But I want you to listen and see if you're in agreement with it today. So, Heavenly Father, I ask you to make leaders who represent you well from this body of believers. I ask you to grow them up. I ask you to make them look like you. Holy Spirit, have your way to speak to every issue in any of our lives. If it is not in line with your word, then God, speak to us clearly, that we might not just hear it, but respond and do what you're asking us to do. Lord, some of that could be sinful things, and other things could be leadership things that we just need to step into. So God, this is your flock. You are the great shepherd. But Lord, I ask as an under shepherd for Lord, you to move among us, that we would practice your presence. We would practice and say, Lord, you're invited in my workplace. You're invited into my mind when I have that free time to let your word just turn in my mind and in my thinking. Lord, let our words represent you well. Lord, that things that come out of our mouth are representative of your heart. So, Lord, would you use us? I pray in the name of Jesus and through the help of the Holy Spirit that you would have your way in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, have a Jesus-filled week. Filled. Not a Jesus-partial week. Not a next Sunday Jesus day, but church, if we're going to do this well and you really want to be a lighthouse in the community, then we need leaders that look like Jesus, because people will see you and go, I want what you have. Amen? Amen. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine upon you. Be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless, and live it out.